All right. Well, we are, if you could switch me over, Weston, to you have a screen. That's awesome. Thank you. We have arrived at the fourth and final message in our pre-Easter series called The Message of the Cross. We've been building week on week. So if you missed all the others, I encourage you to check them out at our website, evangelbathurst.ca. This morning's message, some of you may not like. Oh. This morning's message, something inside of you might react to, I don't like this, Pastor. And you'll see why in a moment. But I want to just let you know, don't listen to the first feeling you have when you hear the message this morning. Lean in. Ask yourself, might there still, even if it's uncomfortable for me, might there still be something that will help me? Because I want to suggest to you this morning, and this isn't because I'm preaching it, this isn't because I'm some whiz preacher or whatever. I want to suggest to you this morning that the content of this message, because it's the Word of God, it's not me, it's the Word of God, that the content of this message may be one of the most important messages you will hear. Now I've set the bar really high, and I better deliver. Okay? I'm not going to deliver. The Holy Spirit will bring His Word alive to us this morning. The gospel involves two crosses, not just one. We've been talking the last 3 weeks about the cross of Christ and the message of that cross. But the gospel is incomplete unless we talk about another cross. And I'm not talking about the cross on the right or the left of Jesus on the hill of Golgotha. But the cross that we're talking about this morning is your cross. My cross. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, one of my heroes, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Those may sound like shocking words, but any version, hear me this morning, any version of Christianity that does not involve your death is vain religion that cannot save. Your path to new life begins in your death. Jesus made this clear to his disciples in this verse, Luke 9, 23 to 25. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very soul, their very self? So first of all, this morning, my cross saves me. Now, before you freak out, I don't mean by this statement that you can earn your salvation through your own sacrifice. That's not what I'm saying. Only Christ's cross pays the penalty for our sin. But to embrace Christ's cross, we must pick up our own. What do we mean by my cross? Obviously, we don't make it a practice, in this church at least, to literally crucify people who come to Christ. We baptize them, right? We don't crucify them. So if Jesus wasn't talking about literal crucifixion, why did he say that in order to enter his kingdom, in order to become his disciple and one of his people, we have to take up our cross and die? And how do we do that daily? I'm really glad you asked all those questions. Becoming a follower of Jesus is not like joining another club, right? It's not like joining the Kinsmen or the Optimists or the Chamber of Commerce. You don't just pay an annual dues fee and sign up to volunteer. You can't just learn the lingo and fit in. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Creator, the Son of God, died on a cross for you in your place so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be freed from the power of sin, so that you could be given new life on the inside of you, so that you could be adopted by the Creator as part of his family, and you could begin to live the eternal life in the kingdom now and forever. We've been talking about that for a few weeks now. To embrace this truth means to abandon the life that was entirely centered around you and abandon the fulfillment of your and my greedy desires and selfish pleasures that lead to our destruction and embrace the way of Jesus that leads to discovering who God made you to be and what he made you to do. And living the rest of your life with King Jesus at the center of your life. He will give you a new set of desires, new set of passions that serve God and help others. So how does your life do a complete 180 transformation from darkness to light, from self to serving, from dying in the death of sin, from the death of sin to resurrection life? How does that transformation, how does that 180 happen? By dying and rising again. By identifying with Jesus in the death that he died for you and identifying with his resurrection from the dead. This is one of the reasons why, as we said earlier, we baptize people at their point of entry into the Christian life. Romans 6 tells us that when we are plunged beneath the waters of baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death. And when we come up out of the water, we join him in resurrection life. The baptism itself doesn't make us alive, but it's a symbolic act of what we do in our hearts when we choose to die to sin and self, and we let Jesus take leadership in our lives. So in that sense, my cross, when I take up my cross, when I identify with the death of Christ and I'm willing to let my selfish, sinful desires die that I might live for Christ, my cross saves me. Secondly, my cross empowers me. Not only am I saved by identifying at the beginning of my journey with the cross of Christ, but it also empowers me to live for Christ every day. From the very beginning, Since you were about this big, or this big, right? From the very beginning, your self-centered desires have been driving your life. You were a captive of sin and its power, and it kept you living for you. That's where we start, every human being, right? We start as captives of sin. We start from living for me. And the only way to change that is to stop living the you life and to start living the Jesus life. With him in the driver's seat, going where he leads. But here's the catch. You can't live the Jesus life. You can't just try a little harder, be a little better, keep more of the rules, just behave. Our feeble attempts to be good enough will tank every time. Only Jesus can live the Jesus life. So what is our remedy? Jesus on the inside of us. Right? The Apostle Paul says it this way in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So trying to live for Jesus is impossible. And it will exhaust you. Many people have tried that path, and they either live on a miserable treadmill of religion. Oh, I got to do more. I got to try harder. I got to be better. And it just goes on and on. And we never feel like we get there. It's dead religion, folks. Or people just had enough and they walk away. I can't do it, so I might as well not. Just go back in the world, right? And when we don't do a good job of explaining the gospel, we set people up to fail, and it's sad to see them check out for the wrong reasons. Right? When we tell people, just pray this sinner's prayer, and your life will be all better. How many found that to be true? Nobody. But sometimes we leave people with that impression. You just pray this prayer. It all works out. It's all just beautiful. Right? And when we leave people with that impression that that's what the gospel is, then we set them up to fail. We don't live for Jesus by trying harder. We live for Jesus by getting out of the way and letting him live his life through us. We take up our cross daily. We die daily to my way. We die daily to my need to be in control. We die daily to the cravings of my flesh, and we yield everything to Jesus. Paul expands on this idea in Romans 6 when he teaches us to reckon. It's a word we don't use very often. Everybody say, I reckon. I reckon. I feel like I should have a piece of grass sticking out of my mouth when I say that or something. I reckon. Right? to reckon, to reckon in English, or to make a reckoning, means to settle accounts or to sync accounts so that your records are the same as my records, right? To reckon, to make a reckoning is to make sure that our accounts, we have the same information. What I see is my account is what you see. Okay? That's what reckoning is. And Paul says in Romans 6, verse 11, this is in the New King James Version, he says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're empowered to live every moment in the Jesus life if we continually sync our mindset with what God says about us. Okay? To reckon, to continually keep our minds and our hearts in sync with what God says about us. God says that if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't this morning, I pray that you will not leave this building without settling that. But if you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, God says you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Right? You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And that means God says that you are dead to sin and alive to God. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, if you have been baptized, if you have died to sin and become a new creation, then you have a choice every time temptation comes knocking on your life. A person who doesn't know Christ, and what we would call an unsaved person, somebody who doesn't know Christ, really doesn't have a lot of choice. They're still a captive, a slave of sin. But if you know Jesus, you have a choice. You can either resuscitate the flesh that's supposed to be dead, or you can live in resurrection life. Right? You can try to bring that flesh back to life and go back the direction you came from. Choose to align yourself with sin again. Or you can walk in resurrection life. And the difference is reckoning ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. You can say, no way, sin. I'm dead to you. Not interested. I've got a new life now. Right? Or you can turn back towards the garbage that you left. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Right? We go back. As we read in this verse, Galatians 2, the last part of the verse says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's giving us a clue here. This is how we live the Jesus life. We live it by, we recognize I'm dead. I'm dead. I've died. I've died to sin. I'm alive to God. How do I live? I live by faith in Jesus. Faith, folks, is not just how we become followers of Jesus. It's not just for the beginning of the process. It's for every day. How do I live this life? I live it by trusting Jesus to live the life through me. Jesus, I can't live the Jesus life today. Get up in the morning. Jesus, I can't do it, but I know you can. I know you're on the inside of me, and I know you're going to live your life through me today. And we keep in sync all day long. Jesus, I want to do what pleases you. I want to do what you're doing. I want your life to come out of my mouth, out of my actions, out of my life. Right? Thirdly, this morning, so my cross saves me. My cross empowers me. Thirdly, my cross transforms me. Our journey through life, when we come to Christ, the rest of our journey is a journey of transformation. God is shaping you and I into the image of His Son. He's making us like Jesus. Every day, in everything that He's doing, His plan, His commitment is to make us like Christ. Galatians 4:19 says, Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, and he says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth." Now, I don't know if Paul got in trouble saying that with the women in the congregation, right? But he's saying there's a deep aching in my inside of me. He says, "I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." That is the goal of the people that He's leading and pastoring and shepherding, that Christ would be formed in them, that they would become like Jesus. And folks, God's greatest priority in your life is not for you to be happy and trouble-free for the rest of your days. Sorry. That's not His greatest priority. His greatest priority is to see you transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Some really well-known words here that'll help us this morning. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Many of you could quote this. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's what we've been destined for. That Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. "And we know that in all things," everybody say all things. Sometimes it is the hardest things, the things that crush us, the things that cause us grief and pain, that accelerate our being conformed to the image of Jesus. Like precious oil that only comes from the crushing of olives. And wine that comes from the crushing of grapes. Resurrection life only comes from a life that has been through the crushing and brokenness of the work of the cross in our lives. Every time, folks, please hear this, because what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put in context every difficult day you've ever had. Every time you are humiliated by something that happens, every time you are misunderstood, every time you are gossiped about, every time you are betrayed by a friend, every time you come under attack from humans or from the enemy, every time you suffer loss of some kind, the cross is at work, and if you yield to its work, your flesh will be put to death and resurrection life will be released in you. I am sure that most of us would wish that we could be transformed by ice cream and Snuggles. But that's just not how it works. Trials and difficulties do their work. They are the work of the cross at work in our lives. And what the enemy has intended for to make your life miserable, to make your day terrible, to crush you and harm you and cause you to give up and walk away. The things that the enemy has brought to bear on your life, Jesus turns around and flips on their head and uses for your good, for God's glory, for the defeat of Satan, and for the increasing of his kingdom. Our Lord asked in prayer during his agony in the garden that the cup of his crucifixion would be taken from him. But then he said, "Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And it was there, in that moment, that Jesus laid down his life. And it was there in that moment that his victory was already won. When he actually went to the cross the next day, he was just walking out the decision that he had made in the garden that night to lay down his life and to say, "Father, what, not my will, but yours." And that's how it works for us too. When the crushing comes to bear on our lives, when the difficulties and challenges are there, and we say, "Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Second Corinthians 4. As we are hard pressed, everybody say hard pressed, on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, everybody say perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, everybody say persecuted, but not abandoned, hallelujah. Struck down, everybody say struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around, listen to this, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Do you understand what Paul is saying there? That when we are hard-pressed, when we are perplexed, when we are persecuted, when we are struck down, when those things are happening, that we are carrying around in our body the death of Jesus. We are experiencing along with Christ the cross. So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive, it goes on to say, for we who are alive, anybody living in here? A couple of you, okay? For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. This is the daily cross, folks. Take up your cross daily and follow me. This is putting our suffering and pain in this life into context. Jesus is at work in your life, making you like him in every one of those circumstances, right? We who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. That is so powerful. I hope you can grab a hold of how powerful that is for us this morning. The beauty of suffering in the life of the follower of Christ is that it is always leveraged for your transformation. God does not cause your pain. Hear that? But he also never wastes it. Right? And just like with Jesus, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, if the powers, spiritual powers, had understood what was going to come from the cross, they never would have crucified Jesus. They didn't understand that God was going to take the very thing that they thought was going to bring their victory and Christ's defeat and flip it on its head and turn it into the greatest victory ever for the kingdom, right? And that is what God does in our lives every day. Every day. It is the cross that you have picked up doing its work in your life so that your pride dies, your selfishness, your greed, your lust, your self-focus, the attitudes and cravings of your flesh, they're put to death so that the beauty and fragrance of who Jesus is can be released through your life, his resurrection life. Can be manifest in you. I don't know if this is up here. Nope. We'll come back to that in a second. Last verse I'm going to throw at you this morning. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. This might be a verse that you've wondered what is Paul really saying, and maybe this message will put it into context for you. Paul says in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. We all say amen to that, right? But it's not finished. Thank you, Suzanne. That's right. I want to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow And so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. That's not just a someday thing. That's an everyday thing. Participation in the sufferings of Jesus so that we can live resurrection life. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Maybe now you understand why I said you wouldn't maybe like it, and yet it might be a powerful message for us this morning. Our flesh will scream every time we go to pick up our cross. It doesn't die easily or joyfully, right? Here's the questions this morning. There's three of them. First of all, have you taken up your cross to follow Jesus? Have you taken up your cross to follow Jesus? If you're in this room or you're watching online, maybe somebody gave you a version of the gospel that set you up to struggle. Maybe somebody said, just pray this sinner's prayer. You'll be good. It'll all work out. No more troubles, no more trials. It's all good. And you found that that wasn't true. Or maybe you're just beginning to explore faith in Christ. I want you to hear this morning that taking up your cross to follow Jesus is the best decision, and I think 90% at least of people in this room would tell you it is the best decision you could make. It's not an easy decision. It's not one that should be made lightly. We count the cost. But it is the best decision you could make to take up your cross and follow Jesus. The second question is, are you walking in victory by choosing to die daily so that Jesus can live his life through you? Don't try and live the Jesus life in your own strength. But live it by faith in the one, the only one who can live it through you. And thirdly, where in your life is the cross doing its transforming work right now? Is there a point of pain right now that you're experiencing the work of the cross and it's difficult, it's hard? You'd rather go for ice cream and snuggles. You'd rather not walk through it. You'd rather say with Jesus, let this cup pass from me. But are you letting the cross do its work? Because folks, it is going to release resurrection life. It's going to manifest resurrection life through you. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for each one of them. And I know, God, so many of the stories in this room, and I know so many times they have walked this path and they have surrendered to you, and they've let the cross do its work, and they have drawn close to you, and they are They're being transformed, and I thank you for that. God, in those moments when our flesh rises up and says, no, I don't want to die, may we sink our minds with your purpose and plan. May we reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. May we let Jesus live through us. Thank you for the power of this word, and that, God, I pray that you would apply it to our hearts. That we would live with more victory, with more joy, with more faith, with more confidence in your love from today forward. We ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. You have a question? Yes, Suzanne. I believe it. So the question, most of you couldn't hear that, but it, when we pray, if we pray every day, I surrender my life to you, is that the same as taking up our cross? And I believe, Suzanne, that that's exactly true. Yeah. Living every day, surrendering and yielding to the work of what God is doing in our lives. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that question. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Pastor, for obeying the Spirit of the living God and sharing that word with us today. I'm excited. How about you? Amen. Whatever comes, amen. We become more like him, more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for coming today. It's been a powerful service. God truly has moved by your Spirit. And even if you stand here today and you haven't crossed that line yet and given your life to Jesus Christ, what an opportunity you have today to invite Christ into your life, surrender to him, and experience the reality of Jesus Christ. We know it's real. And if that's you today and you've never committed your life to Christ, come today to the altar. Give your life to him. And maybe there's those of us that need to wait on God around these altars and have more of a conversation with him. You come today. God bless you. Have yourself a great week. And something good is going to happen this week through us. Amen? Amen. Great things. God bless you.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never die. There's a place where streams of